Podomatic mobile app.
Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. Hey, everybody. I'm Dr. Lisa, and I give a shit. I do. Too much sometimes. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. If you haven't heard the show before, I'm Dr. Lisa. I'm a self-proclaimed psychotherapist, which is basically gives me the opportunity to bug people and ask them questions about their emotions and feelings without having any legal or ethical constraints. Although I do give a shit about people, so I try to keep that in mind. Anyway, you know, thanks for listening. Go to our RadioFreeBrooklyn.com page. Check out all of our shows, which are fucking incredible. And, you know, put a little money in there. Patreon. Yeah, all right. Do you think I'm nervous? I mean, if I sound nervous, it's because I am. Because I have four fucking artists, curators in the studio. And I've already told them all the things that I'm worried about that might happen, like the counter transference. And I think I know they have my back, but I'm still really nervous that I'm going to fuck this up. So let's, you okay, guys? Give me a round of, help me. I hate to be so needy. Yay. I hate to be so needy, but I just have to get that out of the way. This is not about me.
Lisa, there are no mistakes. It's happy accidents.
Okay.
You're doing great.
I'm hearing my mother yelling at me from, like, you know, 20 dead years away. You know, Lisa, what are you doing? What are you doing? You'll never pull this off. But anyway, so back to the topic, Bushwick Open Studios. So it's Bushwick Open Studios this weekend, and everyone in Bushwick should be well aware of that. And if you don't live in Bushwick, well, you're fucked, because it's literally one of the best art weekend experiences, certainly in America, for sure. Okay, it's a really authentic thing because basically no one makes any money on it, right? Is that right? Do people make money on this? I don't think so.
Not me.
Bars make money on this. That's who makes the money. Which Uber. Isn't what?
Uber.
Uber makes money. Okay, so the reason I'm here, it started because, I'm going to introduce you to everybody in a second, but I just want you to understand why we're here. Why I've got so many fucking people in my studio here. Fuck it, people I love. I love these people. I'm so happy that they're here. Anyway, so what we're doing today, there are two shows in Brooklyn Fireproof. Brooklyn Fireproof is at 119 Ingram. It's a multi-purpose building, but it houses mostly artist studios and has two great, big, fabulous galleries. Now, last year, Nina Keneally and I did studio tours throughout for the whole Bushwick Open Studios. But this year, we are focused on this one building because it is particularly concentrated, is particularly fabulous. So we are going to have two studio tours on Saturday, this coming Saturday. One starts at 1 and one starts at 3, okay? And you can meet us in the gallery, the one room 104, at either 1 or 3. Now, we're going to take you around to the studios, but the people I have here today are curators of the two main shows in the building. And I want you to know about them because they are fabulous, amazing shows. And also, just a bonus to the tour. So we really are focusing on these two really great shows, and also the curators and curator artists that are behind them in the community. We want to talk, you know what I want to tell you about? These guys fucking made like so much shit happen. And I want you to know how they fucking did it, okay? Because if you're sitting around like lazy ass, knowing, not thinking that nothing's ever going to happen, this is the show for you, because I got four kick-ass people who made all this fucking shit happen. It's crazy. So there are two shows. One of them is the Transcendence of Us, which is curated by Tim Gowan and Mir Musa, who you are going to meet in a minute. and it's at the Brooklyn Fireproof East Gallery, 104. The opening reception is Friday. That's tomorrow from 6 to 9. And it's basically a group show of all the artists, not all the artists, but some of the artists that are in their Transcender program, which they will talk about. It's a monthly show where they do art, you know, where they have artists discuss their work. And I'm going to name the names really quick who's in the show. Should I do this? I'll just do this really quick. Ethan Brevard, Susan Carr, Susan Thomas, Bert Todd, Daniel Drake, Gordon Fury, Abby Goodman, Tim Gowan, Lee Harper, Clinton King, Anista Lee, Jim Martinez, now Montsamutla, Sean Morey, Mir Musa, Sherilyn Neinhardt, Colin Radcliffe, Nicholas Rispoli, Seth Ruggles, Mike Serafino, Kurt Steiger. Okay, so that's one show. And the other show is curated, The Gallerist. It's a gallery called Art During Occupation, and that's Christopher Stout's gallery. And his show, which I have seen, is like so moving and so original. Not just original, I think actually, I mean, this sounds so cheesy, but I'm going to say it's important. Okay, can I say that? And I'm going to let him explain that and say the name and all that, because I'm going to fuck it up. But I'm going to tell you, it does talk about race, and it talks about it in a way that I wasn't aware that it was it deepened my knowledge about race. Okay, there you go. So let's go around in the circle, and I'm going to introduce you to the curators of the Transcendence of Us. First, we have Tim Gowan. Hi, Tim.
Hello. How are you?
Good. And we have Mir Musa.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
So why don't you guys just tell us a little bit about the show? Say something.
Who's first?
You, Mir. Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, great. I just want to say great to be invited to
this. Okay, a little closer to the mic, Mir.
It was great to be invited to the show. Thank you, Lisa. We're delighted to be here and talk about our show. A Transcendence of Us, which is Tim and I, we curated during the Bushwick Open Studio weekend at Gallery 104 at 119 Ingram Street.
Okay. You know what, Tim? Why don't you tell us how you picked the artist for the show? Because I thought that was really interesting.
That was a really tough situation for me and Marcel. We get a little bit of discussion, but the artists that we bring in for talks are some great artists there. I think we had over 40 of them. And
Closer to
the mic. How's this?
I think that's better.
Okay. So
what do you guys
think? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Good.
Really simply was we going through all the artists that we've had with our monthly series, you know, want to come from that source and really would want to try and have all of them in there, but there's only so much space that we could work with. And so, finally, we just looked at let the universe decide and do a lucky draw from the hat.
Do you love that? Like, how fucking democratic is that, huh? So you see what I'm saying? You guys think the art world's all snotty and you don't get a chance. They fucking took the whole group and pulled the names out of the hat. And I listed all those names. That's a lot. I mean, it's going to be great. And I love the random. I love that. What do you call that? Tai Chi or something? I love the, which kind of works with what you guys do, right, guys?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So Sherilyn didn't actually curate the show, but she is part of the Transcender group. So Sherilyn, will you explain to us about the group and, you know, maybe how the show came to be?
I'd love to, Lisa.
Thank you.
Transcender is a monthly slide share where we invite 6 or 7 artists every month to just, for 10 minutes, talk about their work, show slides to fellow artists, and sometimes get feedback, but often it's just to feel how that feels to show your work to other artists. It's a really great community experience. I personally found it so enriching. And I'm excited that we're going to have a presence at Open Studios this year for our artists.
Okay, so here's the deal, guys. Transcender, which is a really successful group, and it's totally open to the public, and it's a great community. It's not just, I mean, it's the value of actually meeting the artists and seeing their work on a big screen is the focus of it, but it's really being in a room with other artists and consistently every month. It's like group therapy a little bit. I really believe that. But how the group came to being was that Christopher Stout, who is now the director of the Art During Occupation Gallery, started the group how many years ago?
We ran for 3 years.
Yes, yeah, so 3 years ago, well, like four now. He started the group 4 years ago. And when he started doing the gallery, Sherilyn was like, she just like sort of organically came in and took it over, and sort of organically these guys all got together and did it. So I just, you know, it's so great how things naturally develop. And now they're all showing on one floor. So Christopher, can you tell us about the show that is up? And you're having an artist talk as well, right? So why don't you tell us about that?
Cool. I want to say something about Transcender Art Group first.
Good.
Because I have a lot of love and heart in this project, even though I don't do anything. but like it's a legacy, like it means that it's really important to me. So I ran an artist lecture group called Bushwick Art Crit Group for 3 years, which met in the Fireproof building. And it was provided me just so many opportunities to meet and connect and get like intimately involved with the work of so many people, because I was learning so much. And it was the impetus, quite frankly, it allowed me like the mind share to start my gallery, which was a very specific and different thing. That being said, when I started the gallery, I didn't have the bandwidth or the time. And so the lecture group literally just kind of fell off the map. And there was a lot, like I would get emails all the time, especially from Sherilyn, that were like, hey, we're not doing this anymore. And it's a loss. Like, can this be started? How can this? And then finally, Sherilyn came to me and said, can I have it? Like, can we just do the same thing? And I was like, oh my God. Like, I was just so flooded with relief, because it did mean a lot to so many people. It was such a gathering place.
Absolutely. So, I can attest to all of this.
Yes. So Sherilyn and Tim and Mir have taken and literally just catapulted this new amazing thing. And they're like running out in the community, and they're doing the lectures, and they're doing this gallery show, which is the beginning, like other things. And it's just really like underscoring and filling a gap in the community. And it's just, you know, for as much as we talk about sometimes the art world is hard, the art world is such a joyous, wonderful place. And the three of these people have just reinstated something that just brings people joy and community and conversation and everything. So I just am really relieved and excited that they're next door to us doing this exhibition, because it's just happy.
Yes, yes, for sure. That is beautifully put. And so tell us about, what the artists... Let's hear about what you're showing.
Cool. So I run a gallery called Art During the Occupation, or if you can't say all that, just ADO. But Art During the Occupation really lets you kind of know what it's about. We are starting our third year, and we show a lot of difficult and subversive work. Sometimes it's queer. Sometimes it's anti-authoritarian. It's usually very activist or socio-political, a lot of feminist work. And for the kickoff of our third year, we are showing a body of work called So What Did You Do With the Money? The Monetized Negro and the History, or the Poltergeist of the History of My Family in American Culture. I think I said that slightly wrong. But what it is it's a solo. I like to do solos. The artist's name is David B. Fry, and it's a group of paintings that talk about the experience of his family, 1865 to present, compared to the experience, 1865 to present, of the family that used to own his family. So it's talking about the difference of experiences in America between specifically African Americans and former slave owners.
Yeah, it's an incredibly powerful show. I mean, I have never seen work from that perspective of, you know, the, for better lack of a better word, the slave, the person who's from the slave family talking about the family that owned them. I mean, it's so crazy and so, I don't even know how to, I'm kind of at a loss for words. Because it's a really complicated thing to feel. You guys should go see this. Anyway, so I also just want to point out that each one of these people here, each one of these four people are all very profound, prolific, amazing artists all on their own. And we're going to stop the show a few minutes early so that we can go around again and have each of them talk about their own personal work. A lot of it, which will be on display during, you know, on our studio tour, frankly. But I want you to see that side of them too. But we'll be doing that in a little bit. No, we'll be doing that at the end. But you know, so what I thought would be really, what really moves me about having all these people in this room today is the value and the inspiration and it's so fulfilling to see for them and for the people and the organizations that they're involved in that these people came together and made something happen, a community, and they are now all involved in all different, you know, in different separate projects, but yet I just, you know what, shut up, Lisa. I just want them to talk about what they get out of what they've gained from their experience of working together. How's that? Did I say that now?
Sure.
I hope you haven't tuned out by then. Okay. So let's start off, and everybody's pointing at Mir.
Okay. Hey, I'm back. So I'm an artist. I live in Bushwick. I also have a studio space in Ridgewood in Queens, which is right next door to Bushwick. My work is, I have a series of artwork. I call it The Human Spirit, and they're based on my spiritual practice, which is Buddhism and meditation. And I get an idea one time reading a passage from my book, and it talks about how a flower comes from a bud and it blossoms into a fully grown flower and dies, and with its lifespan it's beautiful as it is. And I combine human beings, the life of a human being and their experience is beautiful as they are. So I combine the two and I create these paintings using flowers and people, and I call it The Human Spirit.
You know what? We got confused, didn't we? I got confused. You were talking about your work.
Yes.
Okay, so you don't get to talk about your work at the end.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, now you talked about your work first.
Yes.
See, it's my fault. No, it's cool. Isn't this? Let's give Mir a round of applause. We love him. And let's blame it on me because I'm so confused and confusing. But here's the thing that we want to talk about now, and I need to make this clear for myself and everyone. We want to talk about, just like, can you quell about how great it is to have a community and how, what have you, Mir, what have you personally gained as a person, an artist, creative person, from being your role as a curator with all these people in this room here?
What's
that like? What's that feel like?
Yeah, it feels great. I get to meet all these new artists and people I don't know, and some people I knew before but didn't get to know their work personally. And I feel like we have a lot in common as far as why do we make art. And also, it gives me a chance to bond with this artist and know them personally, know their work, and how they affect the community and their studio practice.
But how about like when you run into them outside, you know, like in a different circumstance? I mean, art's kind of a religion too, isn't it? Does it feel like that to you?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very much a spiritual practice for me.
Yeah. And when you see somebody and you know their work, does it help?
It's inspiring. It's inspiring to see other people, other artists making work and doing something meaningful. And sometimes, you know, when you are in a studio space creating art by yourself, and you feel so isolated,
right?
And you feel like you are doing this on your own, but when you see when people talk about their work in the Transcender Art Group and the artists talk and showing their work, we could all relate to them, mm-hmm. and we say, yeah, we get you. Mm-hmm. You're not mm-hmm. alone, you know, in this.
Yeah, because practicing art is very solitary, right?
Yeah.
Have you had times where you felt like a little bit cut off before this group?
Yeah, yeah.
I bet, yeah, right? Because yeah. you're a real person, and you're not like a full of shit out. You're not that right. outgoing, I'm guessing. You're friendly, but you're not somebody who's going to go up to at a cocktail party and say something really dumb, right?
Yeah.
So it's about communicating on a real in a real way. Right?
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, Sherilyn, why don't you tell us about what you've gotten emotionally from being involved in this vast thing we're talking about?
Sure. I'm a really independent person. I live alone and I work in my studio for hours alone at a time, and I sometimes don't work well with others. I work at my day job is in a newsroom where people are kind of abrupt and mean to each other. So I, you know, when we started Transcender, I was a little bit nervous. Like, am I really going to be able to work on this project as equals with two other people that at the time I didn't know very well? And it's been like a miracle, actually. I love these two bands so much. And, you know, when I've been nervous about things, they've totally supported me. I really feel like there is such a common purpose. I never worry about it. There's been absolutely no drama. It's wow. just there's such a focus on helping the community and making this thing a loving place for everyone.
Wow.
And the artwork is phenomenal. I can't even believe what high quality the presenters have brought to us. That was certainly true of Christopher's group as well. Mm-hmm. I was so inspired by mm-hmm. Bushwick Art Critique Group. That's the whole reason that we did this project in the first place. To have a community place for artists, there's nothing more important to me.
Mm-hmm. So how has it affected you in the rest of your life? Can you?
I'm a much calmer person.
So it's better than drugs. I like that.
Oh my God, it's way better.
Okay. Christopher, why don't we get your perspective? Because you guys aren't talking over each other. See how well behaved. Wow, you guys are well behaved. Christopher, why don't you, I was about to refer you to the senior member of this group, but there is no senior member. This is a very flat organization, and it's not even a real, like, you know, it's just a couple of people in a room, really. But why don't you tell us, like, what it's been like for you, because you had a germ of an idea that's now something else, something completely like a full field of flowers, right? From one little seed. So tell us about that.
Are you talking about the morph of the Crit group into the gallery, or?
I'm talking about, well, I don't know what I'm...
I want to make sure I understand the question.
No, you can answer it any way you want, but I'm talking about in kind of a broad personal way, if you can do that. I'm talking about, like, you were somebody that, like, moved to New York that really, I mean, you didn't really even, you know, you started where you didn't really know people here, right? Wasn't this like right after you started moving, after you moved here and stuff like that?
I moved here 11 years ago and I started the first organization 6 years ago. So
yeah,
there was about 5 years of hanging
out. But you were living, you started the thing in Bushwick without knowing a lot of people in Bushwick, right? Is that correct?
No, I started the thing in Bushwick because I was volunteering with Bushwick Open Studios, with Arts in Bushwick. So like there was like a really cool project which did something, everything was sort of iterative in step. Mm-hmm. So the first year I was in Bushwick, I volunteered with Arts in Bushwick and worked with Samantha Katz.
And why did you want to do that?
I'm I lived in California for 10 years. So the moment I heard there was a volunteer organization that like wanted to build community and that everyone was going to work together and there wasn't any money involved. I mean, as a New Yorker, that all sounds like fucking crazy. But as a Californian, I was like, oh my God, this is where I belong because I totally embrace all of these words. And I had written for a magazine in San Francisco. So I started working with Holly Shen, who's now curator at BAM. And she was my first editor. So I specifically started like going to galleries and writing reviews of shows. So that was my first, that was my entrance into
Bushwick. But what brought you into the like community part? Like how did you decide that you wanted to start a community art group?
Probably exactly what Mir said. So I've been in the Fireproof building for 6.5 years. And you know, like I remember when I first brought my studio into Bushwick that I thought, oh my God, I'm in the center of everything. Like I'm litter in the eye of the storm and I'm going to be around all this stuff. And what actually happened was I'd be working at night in my studio and it was quiet and the warehouse was quiet and there was like nothing going on. And I was like, how can I be in the middle of something and so alone? And so I was like talking to different people and it kind of dawned on me. Because I went looking for ways to be other ways to be involved. And I kept hearing like, oh, there used to be this group or there used to be that group. Or there used to be a network. And I was like, oh, I should just start one. So I just started asking questions to people. I literally walked into the bar at Brooklyn Fireproof and said, hey, if I started a group here, would you guys be into that? Would like, and they were like, yes, here's free space. Here's this, here's our, you know, so I was kind of in the right place at the right time.
Well,
it started by asking a lot of questions.
Right. And so how has it affected you personally, like as a human, like starting that and seeing where we are at this very moment in this room, getting ready for Bushwick Open Studios? I mean, that must make you feel really grounded.
I think what it did, and this is like very like these people in this room right now,
right,
like Tim, Mir, and Sherilyn, like are totally indicative of that. It connected me with people who A, love and believe in their own work and also love and believe in the work of other people. And so know how to reach their hands inward and support themselves and then know how to reach their hands outward and teach and support other people. So starting that group literally activated and connected me with that set of people in Bushwick.
So, you know, I was thinking, let's talk about money, something that is not always very transparent in the art world. We know, because that always seems like such an obstacle and it's an uncomfortable thing to discuss. And that's partly why I like to discuss it. But making money from your art is something that doesn't seem to, I mean, so me being judgmental, I think that making money from your art can be a very telling thing. People who think that they're going to be making money and people don't think they are. And so how do you guys, like, do you guys not think about it? Do you guys have disdain for it? Like I'm saying I do. Can you talk about that? You all have jobs, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So how about you, Tim? You're an architect. You must have a lot of money, don't you?
As an architect?
Yeah.
That's not quite the fact. So, I pay my bills. I mean, it's how I make a living.
But yeah. I mean, I think it's like taking money out of the equation. Is money part of the equation as far as like this group goes? I mean, we all want to make money and sell our work, but
it's two different things. You know,
how do you say it?
Well, if you want to say that, I mean, would we all like to make money and have a sense of security? Of course, always security. Let's put it that way. But, I think money for me takes money out of the equation, yes, of the work that I do. So it's, if I make money off my work, fantastic. If I don't, it's okay. You know, it's about creating at that point. And it's about creating being undisturbed because I think real quick was my journey as an architect. I went to a school where I was going to become the next Starkitect. You know, this idea of having your book published, and I had that vision. Then I went to the professional world and I saw the realities of what it was. And you could follow that way, but I decided to actually in certain ways extract my creative energies in my art. Because then guess what? No one can tell me what it's my world. It's like being the 5-year-old kind of in their own little venture. So once when I start having a committee in my head and the critic in my head or those who are there, then it compromises who I am, and what I do. So that's what I deal with. You deal with the world of architecture. You have clients, you have guidelines, you have rules and regulations that you have to conform to.
So you're saying that if you're getting paid for it, then it's going to influence what your output is.
Well, for me, perhaps. You know, but for others, it may not be.
I think that's true a lot. What do you guys think? Do you guys all feel that way?
I think, yes, I do feel similarly. I don't want my art to be burdened with having to support me financially. And so I have a day job. Mm-hmm. And that lets my art be what it needs to be for me and for my community.
And do you think that in a way helps helps a community become more of a community because like the commerce part isn't front and center?
Money changes everything.
Christopher, do you have a thought? Do you want to contribute? Christopher runs a gallery, but your gallery went from profit to nonprofit, right?
It does.
You sell work, obviously.
I do sell work. Yes, and you're
good
at
it.
I love to sell work.
Yes, I know. It's a gallery.
There are things that are incumbent upon the responsibility. So I want my artists to be respected and understood critically.
Right.
I want them to find an audience that wants to love and understand their work. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's a mental relationship, and sometimes that is part of respecting artists is about getting them financial respect.
Of course.
Because at the end of the day, like that paint, that studio, that apartment, like everything cost them something. And so the goal is to carry it forward so they can.
But also, I think, you know, I mean, I know that you also love getting the work in the people's homes or wherever.
Sure.
I mean, there's definitely.
I mean,
It's a sharing. Yeah.
To answer your question, I've done shows where there was absolutely nothing was for sale. And I've done shows where everything was for sale. And I've done shows where we've sold a lot of work. And I've done shows where I've sold nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you made me sit down and forced me to rate the ones that meant the most to me or whatever, ironically, sometimes the shows where nothing was even for sale were just like would be at the very top of that list because of what they allowed us to talk about and the things that they allowed us to experience.
Right. So you have a lot of freedom that you wouldn't have in, say, you know, a big Lower East Side Chelsea gallery. I mean, and money and freedom are on the same, line, aren't they? Money and freedom to some degree.
They can be. I mean, that's a rather Western sentiment.
Yeah, that would be me.
Yeah, all of us. Yeah, sure. Yes, money and freedom are often inextricably linked.
So I want you guys, well, first of all, I have to do a station ID. Do you guys know that you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn? You're not even listening to it. You're making it happen. And you're listening to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. I'm here with four curator artists. And we're excited about two important shows at Brooklyn Fireproof that is coming up on. See, I told you I was nervous about that. Brooklyn Fireproof that's coming up this weekend. Nina Keneally and I will be doing studio tours, meeting at 1 and 3 p.m. and the 104, number 104, room number 104. And go to our Patreon page for Radio Free Brooklyn and look us up. It's a great time to be donating money to nonprofit radio. We need it. I think that you guys, like looking at you from my perspective, I think all four of you possess a really valuable quality of being productive on your own, but also a certain kind of confidence and caring to be able to reach out to other people and to have a bond and a life that is strengthened by community. And I want want you guys to sort of, if you can articulate that, if I articulated the question clearly, or and tell us about that from your point of view. And I think you're all, you know, I think you all come from very different places. You're all very separate individuals, and I'd love to hear more about that. Sherilyn, go first.
Can you say the question again?
Yeah.
Well, what I want you to do is just talk about the feeling, really, of what it is about you that what you think, what qualities you have that allow you, that inspire you to be wanting to connect with other people, and what you get in return. Like, what about you? Is it that you care about other people? Is it that you want to see other people succeed? Is there some kind of nurturing quality?
I'm not sure anyone would describe me as nurturing.
But you know what? There may be something. But see, this is what's really funny, because how would you guys describe Sherilyn?
Nurturing.
Nurturing. Very warm.
Cool.
Just not with plants.
You know, actually, it's a very selfish act to try to grow community, because I think as humans, that's bred into us to be fully realized as a human. We need other people. We need other people's eyes on our work as artists. We need other people to reflect ourselves back to us. We actually need that. We die alone and we live together.
So how does that make you feel that you were described as nurturing? You don't want to be nurturing. Or you don't see yourself that way?
I don't really see myself that way, but I'm very happy if others do see me that way, because I want to be of value to the community.
Did that make you feel good?
Yeah, it did.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, Tim, tell me about Mir. What do you think, what about him that you value, you see his, why do people value Mir as a community person?
It's the kindness about Mir, you know, that I've come to experience. And I think that, you know, Mir and I think, interesting enough, we first met sometime before at the, we met a few times. I think the really time I knew Mir was part of my, we connected, was at Lori Moto, the small work show. And he also just reached out and kind of was the kind of reached out to bring into community. And he spoke of something like this long before we even had Transcender. We were meaning to get together to say, what can we do about kind of creating this larger circle and get off of my awkwardness and my insecurities walking into a gallery? And it seems like everybody knows each other, and I'm that weird guy who knows no one. Meanwhile, everyone in the room is feeling the same way and breaking that wall. And he broke that wall with me. So
Mir reached out to you.
Yeah,
I could totally picture him doing that, because he's always been so just wonderful about saying hello to me at shows, and so he really reached out to you and made a big difference.
You know, we were at the Bogart building last week, and he's just, you know, he's either met them,
did
was about
that,
to meet
Mir?
Them.
Huh? Did you know that?
Oh,
he's a social butterfly, this little guy here.
He is, kind of, actually. No, you're just warm and friendly and genuine.
Thank you.
So Mir, what has Christopher Stout done for, what do you think he's added, like, maybe to you personally, and also as a you know, a force in the community? What about Christopher Stout makes him a community person?
Christopher Stout was, you know, great starting Bushwick Art Crit, and he's and I presented there a few times, so he given me opportunity to present along with other artists. And also, I work as a full-time as an artist. So sometimes I take any kind of jobs, gallery sitting, or Christopher mm-hmm. Stout, you know, provided me some opportunity to work for him. And also, he just inspires a lot of people to take on more responsibility for themselves. You know, when he left Bushwick Art Crit Group and there was nothing happening, and he started his own gallery. But, and when Sherilyn and I also talked about, you know, to Christopher Stout about, can we make this, you know, continue this? And eventually, I guess, Sherilyn talked to him about it, and he also set us up He made the announcement in Facebook about mentioning my mm-hmm. name and Tim's name and some other artists, mm-hmm. and we're the one who showed up. And then we created the team. So I think
you seem as somebody who's really encouraged other people.
Yeah.
Encouraged you.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I would just like to say that none of what's happening in our building this weekend really happened without Christopher Stout blazing the trail first. He's been instrumental. He's been a bedrock of our community. I feel like everybody knows him. Everybody respects him. And he's my studio mate, so I'm super lucky I get to see him all the time.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, I would totally agree with that. Christopher, how do you feel? Can you handle it?
I can't handle it because it's like...
How do you feel right now?
Maybe they knew what I was doing, but like I knew what like Lucia and Julia Sinelkova and Holly Shen and so like Samantha and, you know, like, and you, like the first time you ever talked to me, I was so flattered. This is like 8 years ago because it was like everywhere in the entire... But that's how that feels.
See, I know.
So like it's good to hear that, but I feel so embarrassed I think of the 15 other people that I was like, oh my God, if they're doing this, maybe I could do a little. And then suddenly you realize that you've just done a little and it aggregates maybe into the perception of something bigger. But I mean, there's a long legacy of people in Brooklyn starting with the transcendentalists that like, I'm totally serious. That were like telling people to be self-empowered and to work together and to make something happen. Like that's a Brooklyn thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That is really well put.
For me, definitely he's a power of example, at least for us. And I think about, and it's a side story, but I know that for so long he maintained the Art Crit group for 3 years and it was every month getting artist after artist, and we rotate, three of us, and I think, oh my God, I gotta get once every 3 months, I've gotta get a bunch of artists together. God, I hope I can do that, I can pull that off. And meanwhile, he had to, you know, live, die, repeat after each time it was done to get more and more people. It's a tremendous amount. I mean, it's a great, you know, it's something to take from me.
It was easier for me because you guys curate, so you literally pick a topic and you find people that all fit and you've got these beautiful, like polished museum quality lecture things where it all relates to each other. My rule was if you tell me you want to speak, you're in, because I felt like self-selection, like only the real people would volunteer kind of thing. So I literally just held a sign-up sheet and like you just got an order. Like you guys are a lot more sophisticated
than I was.
Truth
is out.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, you know, you guys, one of the things that I find really impressive is that you all really run a tight ship in that things are really well done, really professional, and really organized. And I think that is, you know, I think that, I mean, it doesn't have to be that way, but it really does help. So just, you know, we have like, I want to make sure that we get to talk about all your work separately, but just so that we don't end on a really, really positive, corny note, I want to make sure that everybody, like, that we all get to talk about what the obstacles are, too, because I know that all of you, I know that the things that I've seen coming from everybody in this room has always been really, really well done and really well organized and all that stuff. And I'm sure there is some obstacles and some difficulties and some frustrations. So let's hear about what complain. Let's complain a little bit. What kind of sucks sometimes?
I'll go. Mm-hmm. I think like what sucks sometimes is when I get a lot of artists requesting to be presented at the same day, the same, you know, same month. Like I figured out that once I did 8 people selection and presenting, and it was a lot of people, and it took a long time. So I just, you know, narrowed it down to 6 people now. Mostly I think that it works the best. And sometimes it's like we get more requests from people who came to the presentation before and wanted to present and can't always, you know, get them in.
So do you feel bugged by people? Do you hate saying no? Are they nasty after you say no?
They don't say, they're not nasty, but I could kind of sense it maybe that it they have to wait for the next time.
Like the next time they see you, do they knock over your drink or something like that?
No.
No? How about you, Tim? What's frustrating about it to you? Where do you get?
I think it's just...
Mir shows up late sometimes, maybe.
No. It's funny. I think as a team, it's so funny. There's no ego between us. And it's all...
Yeah, I
it's
think
all,
that's a really good
and
point.
And it's all horizontal. So we're always sometimes... It's And I think it's funny is it's not... It's not even a problem. It's like, I think we talked about our show. There was almost a little bit of us almost dropping the ball because we don't want to step on each other's toes. And all of a sudden, you're like, wait, we got to do something. So it's, it was funny. So we're learning to communicate with each other. But when it comes down to frustration, I don't know. I think the only little obstacle for me right now is, I mean, it goes back to, it's a work play life. I have a work, sometimes the work that I do may get in the way. I hate to say it, gets in the way of what I'm doing, and I have to work around that. So it's, it gets in the way of the enjoyment here.
I like the way you said that. The work that I'm doing gets in the way of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I get it.
But I think overall, though, I think it's been a lot of fun because it's given me the ability to just go see an artist, go to space and say, I want you in this show. Can you do this? Mm-hmm. So it's also another way of me getting through that, reaching across the table and saying, hey, I see something I like. I'd like to have you in here. And they say, great. You know, it's great.
Right. Christopher, how about you? Name names. Go ahead. What's your frustration? What's your frustration about a community, working in a community?
Oh, about working in a community. I was like, what's my frustration? I was going to be like, I want more time and money.
Oh, yeah.
And money for time and time for money. what's my frustration in working with a community? I don't have one, and that's not a dodge.
Okay, well, then tell us some other frustration that's related to what we've been talking about. Or are you not in touch? There's got to be a frustration. You may be repressing it.
If I had a frustration, it would be that in the space I was in my first year, I had like a little teeny gallery and a big gallery. And so I do like a big show, and like a sun show and a moon show. And now I'm in Fireproof, which I'm now in my second year there. Mm-hmm. Like I don't like I'm so like Bird Dodd saved my life.
Yeah, he's great.
Like my business plan was like in trouble, and he's like he worked with me and floated and made it work and let me make like all this stuff like financially. But now I just have a sun gallery and no moon gallery. So I like often have these like these ideas. I'm like, oh fuck, like I could do this like this show, because the thing is like we would do like a show that would literally amplify the other show, like think about like a sperm and an egg kind of thing, and now there's just like one kind of thing,
right?
Which is actually why it's a relief and cool that these guys are next door to us and that there's the cases thing going on in the open studios. Because it's that loneliness thing again. Like, so I miss having two rooms.
Right.
But as soon as I say that, I feel like, oh my God, like I've got a room in New York. Like I've got a gallery in New York. Like that's like epic.
So you're just really hungry.
Always. Yes, I am. I'm rather empirical.
Sherilyn, would you like to complain about something to do with the community?
I think when I get frustrated, it's usually just because my day job is really demanding and requires a lot of hours of my time. And I like to also spend a lot of time working on my own artwork. So then when we have other demands on time on top of that, sometimes I'm like, God, where am I going to get the energy? But that's usually when I remember that things like Transcender are actually what gives me the energy. And that's what gives me the motivation to keep doing what I'm doing, because it's really fulfilling.
Wow. There you go. So we all have time issues. Yes, Christopher, would you like to say something?
The art world is still too white.
The art world is still too white. No, yeah, there's no way I wouldn't agree with that. I mean, yes. The art world is still too white.
And Arts in Bushwick just went through this big transformation, and they're publishing everything in Spanish, and they're doing kinds of things to make Bushwick open studios. And I guess that's what frustrates me. Like I sort of expected I would see a lot more, and I'm just not tapped into it. I don't know where to find it. So it's my problem. I'm owning my problem. But I guess I was hoping, and I haven't seen it yet, but I'm looking specifically, like I want my world is colorful, and I want my art world to be more colorful.
That's a really good point, and that is a question or an issue that I think we'll all agree on, guys.
Yeah.
For sure.
And we've all been working to solve that, and there hasn't, there's no obvious solution, or it would have been been done, but I think I think it's great that, I mean, I did not realize that, and I'm really, really, really happy to hear that they did that in Spanish. They're showing everything in Spanish as well, so there's progress there. So let's go around the room, and I'm giving everybody 2 minutes to talk about their work, and promote it. Please help me let people know where to find your website, where to see your work, where to see your work at Bushwick Open Studios. I will make a repository for all of this on my Facebook page. So, and I also just want to remind people once again before, just the last time, please come to our studio tours, Nina and Lisa studio tours. There's going to be one at 1 p.m. and one at 4 p.m. this coming Saturday, 3 p.m., I'm sorry, this coming Saturday, and they're meeting at 119 Ingram Street. That's Brooklyn Fireproof, room 104, studio or gallery 104. Okay, go. Let's go talk to Tim. Tim, tell us about your work.
Yeah, first, before I think it was really important for all of us, I want to give our gratitude, bottomless gratitude, to our friends at Brooklyn Fireproof, Burr Dodd and Colin Radcliffe, because without them, like, for example, the Open Studio space and what they're able to give to us, and also for the monthly lecture series, I without it, there would be no Transcender. I think they wouldn't, even Christopher even touched base on him with ADO, and I can't thank them enough. And they're beyond generosity of giving us more than even what we ask for.
No, I think that's a really, so thank you for saying
really,
that.
I really, and thank I think you know that too. And I think they're fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And I want to let that be known. And they really support the arts and everything else. They haven't forgotten, especially in this community where others have seemed to, not others, but it just seems it fades away.
Yeah.
They're given strength.
And we were talking about money. There's generosity right there.
So quick, I'll talk about my artwork because I have the worst answer ever because I am all over the place. Mm-hmm. And which is the worst thing to say as an artist. And I, so what? But I'm focusing on certain like little micro groups right now. So I think I'm just kind of getting into a touch of like this, street based art, which is, people say my art looks like it comes from California, though I've been in New York all my life. Mm-hmm. So that's I'm trying to figure what that's about. But there's a lot of caricatures I create right now in the current work that I have. And I'm thinking about making another change just based from our last sitting or slide presentation, kind of hitting some ideas of, touching back on some of the themes that I did back in the day. But I know I'm very vague in what I say right now, but right now there's a lot of these caricatures.
I'll tell you what, but is it on the street or in the studio?
It's in the studios. Okay. So it's in the studios. It's okay. Just very infused.
And we're going to be able to see it at the Transcender show, right?
Exactly. So
latest okay, so what's your website? Or do you have one?
I do. It's timgowan.com.
Okay. That's GOWAN. Okay. Great. Mir, you already talked about your work. Do you want to just sum it up again and quickly say what your website is?
Sure. First, I just also want to say thanks to, Burdard and Colin for, hooking us up with the space
sure.
and providing with we couldn't be done without them. And also us, Transcender Group, we all depend on each other to showing up, bringing up artists and, helping with the promoting the show and all that, and Christopher Stout for, also assisting us and helping us promote the show, and what else? I'll just talk about my work, I guess, which I already did, but I'm gonna say you could find my work. This Bushwick Open Studio, I'm gonna be showing at with the Transcendent of Us exhibition,
right?
And also, I was invited to show at. The Annex Studio, Annex Gallery, across from David and Schweitzer Contemporary. Daniel John Dungad is curating a show.
56 Bogart, right?
56 Bogart,
okay.
Yeah. Actually, Sherilyn is also in that show.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
okay.
And that's going to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I think. And oh. Also, there's the Abbey, which is curated by Seth Heiler. It's mm-hmm. a church, and it's going to mm-hmm. be on the third floor at the Great Hall.
Great. You're going to be in a lot of places. Like I said, I'm going to have this all on my Facebook page. Christopher, has done some amazing performance work lately also, which has been so impressive and moving and such a weird natural performance outgrowth of your work. Like, I can't stop thinking about it, but go ahead. So you're not performing this week, but tell us about your work.
I am a painter. I have studio space with Sherilyn, so our studio is open all weekend. My work is concerned with abstract minimalism and a little bit about shape, a little bit about dimensionality. I could say a bunch of really keen sounding buzzwords, but just come see it.
Okay.
Sherilyn and I are like waiting for you. Like literally, we're counting the seconds. I will say the best part of like Sherilyn can paint like a motherfucker.
I know.
And I just moved in with her a couple months ago. And my like be a good neighbor rule is that I'm not allowed to touch anything in her space, but I'm allowed to walk around and stare at all of her paintings, which I do all the time. I like stare into her work and I stare at her techniques. I stare at her use of color. I'm so much more comfortable talking about other people's art than my art, as you
so
can tell. But come see me.
Okay.
But come see Sherilyn as well, because
she's
a great
your,
painter.
You have a website for your work, right?
Christopher Stout.
Christopher Stout. And Sherilyn?
I'm showing a body of work specifically for Open Studios called God is a Bullet, and it talks about gun violence, particularly in light of mass shootings in America and elsewhere. And we are in Studio 207 at Brooklyn Fireproof. I share a studio with Christopher Stout. Come see both of our work because it's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be there.
I will be there. I also have a piece in Transcendence of Us. I also have a piece in True Believers at 56 Bogart. And I'm part of the takeover of Wayward Social. There are a bunch of my drawings wheat pasted in the bathroom right now.
Oh, that's cool. Wow, this is going to be such a great weekend.
Where are you showing?
I'm not showing. What I'm doing actually is, I'll tell you the biggest thing that's going on in my life right now. I'm actually competing to become Miss Subways. Did you know that?
Yay. No.
I am.
Spill it.
Well, that's next Thursday.
Okay.
It's the 28th. I think that I'm competing against 6 people. And
You're a shoo-in.
I don't know. I'm trying to become Miss Subways. It's going to be at the City Reliquary.
Is there a talent contest?
No, there is.
Swimsuit?
No, there's no swimsuit, thank God. I mean, not just because of me. I don't think I want to see any of these people in a swimsuit, frankly. But you probably will anyway, because I think that's some what they do. But I'm going to show hopefully some of the signs that I've used in the subway, stuff like that. I'm also going to be doing another performance hopefully before then in the subway. And also I should mention, because these ladies were really nice to invite me to host and moderating a panel at 4 p.m. at Paradise Palace, which is 1263 Bushwick Avenue, that's on Sunday at Paradise Palace. It's I'm going to be there's a show there called Wise Blood, which is great. It's an all women's art show and very intergenerational. And I'm going to be talking with the artists about how do we sustain our careers, what are our ups and downs, and how do we keep each other going and stuff like that. So I think that'll be really, really cool. And I should also mention, because the radio station is having, I'm hosting this too, we're having a comedy show on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, at the Footlight. Me and Colby from Young Persons Radio is going to be hosting that. And we have like literally not 50 seconds. So I just want to like tell you guys, like just send you so much love and appreciation and gratitude and for being here today and spending this time with me.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
And sharing. I really hope that the inspiration that I feel in this room gets through to you guys who are listening to it. And if you really want to feel that inspiration, just come to Brooklyn Fireproof this weekend and talk to all these guys in person. They'll all be there. And I think it's just, I'm just so looking forward to it. What can I tell you? That's all I can say. Stay tuned for Lost